So we do believe strongly in community, and part of that is because scripturally we see that we're not meant to do life alone. But for us, as the staff and our elders and our connect group leaders, we've experienced that. We've experienced the necessity of community. God didn't create us to do life alone. He created us to do life together and to be there to support one another and encourage one another, to walk with one another, to celebrate, to mourn, to grieve, all of those things together. And that's part of our growth. And really and truthfully, the purpose that God has for your life can't be carried out apart from one another. And that's a lot of what we're looking at in this series, Seasons, is that they were building a physical temple. Now God is building a spiritual temple. He's building a temple that's made of people. He's building a temple who's made of people who are filled with his spirit. And those pieces, each person, makes up a part of that temple. It makes up a part of the body of Christ. If you think about that, what does it mean that we're the body of Christ? It means we are now Jesus's physical representation on the earth. When people look at his church, they see his bride. When people look at his church, they see his body. When people look at his church, they see a temple, a Holy Spirit-filled people who are bringing glory to God. But that doesn't happen outside of community. If you're not in community, I would encourage you, get in a connect group. Begin to be discipled. Find community. Find people in your life who can help you grow, who can walk with you, who you're able to help them grow and walk with. Because it's so much bigger than oftentimes what we realize. And God wants to take each one of us, put us in the place he created for us, shape us and mold us to be the piece of his temple, his body, that we were created to be so that he's glorified throughout the earth. And so I want to encourage you with that. You've heard these testimonies. These are just some of them. But I'm telling you, if you're not in community, find people that you can do life with, because it's incredibly important to have those people in your life to strengthen, to encourage, to correct, to walk alongside all of those things. And so I would encourage you to do that. And of course, people are always willing to help you with that at our Next Steps table, or somebody that you know that's in a group. Just grab them and say, hey, just invite yourself, right? Whatever you got to do. Get in community with other believers so that God can do in your life what he desires, because we're dependent on each other to accomplish the purpose that God has for us. And so today we are going to continue this series called Seasons. We're in the book of Haggai. So the easiest way to get there is to go to the book of Matthew and go left in your Bible. Don't go very far, because it's a small book. It's only two chapters. And once you get through Zechariah, you'll come to Haggai. We're going to be in chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 9 verses. This whole series is really about the season we feel like we're in and going into as a church. And we really feel like the book of Haggai speaks directly to that. And I feel like today is a day for us to hopefully be encouraged to go and be the people that God's called us to be. I think this is a very clear message that resonates not just from around 520 BC, but all the way up through today. It's a message that has resonated in the hearts of believers for centuries. And it speaks to us just as clearly today as it would have spoken to these Jewish people, these Israelites in this day. To give you a little bit of background, these are Israelites, these are Jewish people who have returned from Babylon. They've been taken captive because of their disobedience to the Lord, but there was a prophecy that they would return. And the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. The Persian king began to let some of them come back, and these were particularly sent back to rebuild the temple. They get back to Jerusalem, they start well, they build an altar, but then they face some persecution. They kind of struggle to keep going because they're facing some trials. And what ends up happening is God sends prophets named Haggai and Zechariah to kind of give them a kick in the rear end and say, hey, get busy building my temple. Quit building your paneled houses. Quit building your luxurious houses and build a temple for me. And this is important because the temple represented the presence of God with his people. And by God saying, build the temple, what he's telling them is, I'm still with you. And we're going to see that in this passage today. Once we get to chapter 2, this is the second message that Haggai is giving to the Israelites, to the Jewish people. And this message is a little different. The first one was more of a rebuke. Why are you building your luxurious houses while my temple lies in ruins? You haven't built this temple. Am I not important to you? It was a direct reflection on their relationship with God that the temple lie in ruins and they were building their own lives, their own houses. Now they've repented, they've begun to build, but what's happening and what we're going to see is as they begin to build, they realize this doesn't look like what we thought it was going to look like. Some of them actually were able to remember back. They would have been young when they were taken into exile into Babylon, and they could remember the former temple before it was destroyed. And now they're looking at the temple they're building, and they're like, there's no way this is going to be better or even as good as the one that was built before. And they're in this place of being disheartened, and they're in this place of being disappointed. And so with that background in mind, let's read the first 9 verses of chapter 2. It says, in the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. These were the leaders of the people. And to the remnant of the people. So he's speaking to 3 people, to Zerubbabel, who would have been considered more of like their political leader and governor, to Judah, to Joshua, the high priest, and to the people. So this is a message to all of them. He says, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? So there again, he's saying, some of you I know saw the former temple. You saw what it looked like. And then he says this, how does it look to you now? So they repented, they begun rebuilding, but now he's dealing with a different issue. The disappointment of what this thing's turning into, what it's beginning to look like. And so God sends him and he says, what's it look to you? What's it look like to you now? And then he says this, does it not seem like nothing? Now, if you go back and you look at a whole Hebrew of how that is worded in Hebrew, what he's literally saying is, it's nothing, isn't it? That's literally what he's saying. He's saying, you look at this and I know what you're thinking. It's nothing, and you're right. In comparison to the old temple, this temple doesn't look like much. In fact, it is nothing compared to the old temple. But listen then, he goes, but now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work. He addresses all 3. Be strong, be strong, be strong. And work. And listen, here's the key verse to this. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. That is huge. Haggai is looking back through the Spirit. The Spirit is directing him all the way back to the Exodus when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And you remember Pharaoh had to let them go because of the plagues. And finally he lets them go. God brings them out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. This is actually during what's called a Feast of Tabernacles. This is when they are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was when they would come out of their luxurious houses. The people would come to Jerusalem and they would kind of live in like makeshift homes. And they would do that to remember God's faithfulness. And it would be a celebration of God's faithfulness to his people throughout the centuries, through God's faithfulness throughout the Exodus and the wilderness and how he cared for them. It was a celebration of the covenant God had made with them, that if they were obedient to him, he would be their God and they would be his people. And he says, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. And what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. So, Father, we thank you this morning for your covenant with us that is through Jesus Christ. We thank you that your presence is with us. We thank you that you are a God who pursues us. We love you, Lord, and we worship you today because you are worthy of all praise. God, I pray that today our eyes would be opened even more by the Spirit, that our hearts would be illuminated more by the Spirit, that we would stand in awe of you because, God, you are an awe-inspiring God. You are the God of the universe. You are a consuming fire. There is no one else like you. There is no one like you, Holy Spirit. There is no one who can do what you do in our lives. There is no one who's done for us what Jesus has done. There is no love like the Father's love. And so, God, today, would you encourage us with the fact that you are with us, that when Jesus came to earth, his name was Emmanuel, God with us. And you made a promise to us, Jesus, that you would never leave us, that you would be with us to the ends of the age. And I thank you that today we can lift up our eyes to the heavens and we can look to you for our help. Because we know that, God, even now you are building your temple. Even now you are with your people. That we can work and we can put our hand to the plow and we don't have to look back. And we can continue to do your work and we can continue to move forward. And we don't have to fear because of what goes on around us. Because we have a victorious God who rules and reigns from his throne in heaven. And we thank you for that, Jesus. Would you speak to our hearts now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, had an opportunity for the last few days, been out of town, had an opportunity to go do ministry among the elk of New Mexico. And it was a great time. One of them met Jesus. So that was cool. First elk that I've ever introduced to Jesus. So that was, I don't think elk go to heaven, but just for animal lovers, I'm trying to make you feel better. But had opportunity for that, and I got this elk, and nice elk, and my buddy that I went with was there, and he had a friend who was hunting somewhere else, and one day we get a picture of his elk. And compared to his elk, my elk didn't look so good. Like, it was massive. And it made me think about this, and I think about, and I'm super thankful for what I got. It was an incredible opportunity. But I got to thinking about this and thinking about how these people must have seen this grand temple, right? Some of these people had seen it. Other people had heard about it. And you know, over centuries of time, as things grow and they get bigger. And so probably now these childhood memories of some of these people were even more grand than what it actually was. Some of the people have only heard legend while they've been in captivity. And so they're looking at what they currently have and it doesn't look like much. Here's the thing that's so incredible about God, though, is God doesn't see things the way we see them. And his plans are always bigger than our plans. And so when they're looking at this temple and they're looking at the foundation and they begin to build and they begin to see what's there, there's this disappointment and this discouragement. And what I love about this passage is God doesn't send Haggai to say, come on now, it's two things. God doesn't send Haggai, one, to say, you sorry Israelites, get to work, build my temple, quit pouting, get over your disappointment. And the other thing he doesn't do is he doesn't just send him to say, hey, just work harder. He gives him a reason. He gives him a reason. He says, work. He says, my presence is with you. You remember when I covenanted with you all the way back when you were in Egypt? And I made a covenant with you that I would be your God and you would be my people? I haven't forgotten that. And my presence is with you. And the reason for building this temple is not just to have a place for worship. It's to signify that the God of the universe is with his people. And you don't have to fear because I'm with you. And my presence is with you. I love how Haggai starts this out. He tells them, he says, who of you has left who saw this house in its former glory? And you can probably picture like a bunch of older people. They're kind of like. And then he says, what does it seem like to you now? How does it look to you now? And he knows in their mind, they're thinking, not like much. And he doesn't try to paint a rosy picture that doesn't exist. He goes, you know, I know what you're thinking. This looks like crap. Compared to what Solomon built, this looks like nothing. So your thoughts, I'm not going to try to paint it and make it a pretty picture for you. What I want you to understand is, you're right. Physically, this looks like nothing. But he says, you got to see it how God sees it. You got to understand it how God understands it. And you got to put your hand to work and continue to build the temple because God's presence is here. God's presence is with you. Zechariah, the other prophet of this time, told him, they told the same people, he says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. He said, it might not look like much. You might not have much to work with. It might not seem like there's a whole lot there, but understand this, that the silver is God's. The gold is God's. God will provide what you need to build his temple. God will provide what you need to accomplish his purpose. And for some of you right now in your life, you look at it and you go, well, there sure ain't much to work with. I sure feel like I'm at the end of my rope. I sure feel like I'm hopeless. I sure feel like there's not much to work with. And yet God looks at it and he goes, just give me what you got. And the thing is, and the promise is that when we're in faith in Jesus and we have this relationship with God through Christ, his presence is with us. And God is still building his temple. It might look like nothing, but don't despise the day of small beginnings. Just take the first step. Just give God what you have. Haggai didn't try to deny the situation. See, we don't have to try to deny when we're in a place that is uncomfortable, that is disappointing, that is disheartening. We don't have to deny that. It might be reality. But God has a way of changing our perspective. God has a way of helping us see what we cannot see. 17 years ago, we started Connection Church with 11 people. We had no idea what God would do. I was a roofer. Roofers aren't necessarily thought about on like the top of the intellectual food chain. But God had a plan and God was with us. And this is what I'm telling you today. If you are in Christ, God is with you. God has a purpose for your life. And where you're at may be disappointing. It may be disheartening. Some of you right now, you're sitting there and you don't even know how you got to where you are. And yet God knows. And my encouragement to you today is the same as that of Haggai. Be strong, sir. Be strong, ma'am. Be strong because the presence of the Lord is with you. Call upon his name. Don't deny the reality, but understand this, that God sees it from a different perspective. Remember the covenant that God has made with us that goes all the way back to the very beginning of time, that he will be our God, that we will be his people. He is a covenant-keeping God. He will not forget his promises. And he says, work. Work. We don't work for our salvation. We work because of our salvation, right? I'm not telling you to work for salvation. I'm telling you to work because the presence of God is with you. I'm telling you to work because God's doing something in our world right now. I'm telling you to work because God has bigger plans than what you could imagine. I'm telling you to work because your work depends, the person next to you, their work depends on your work. And we're called to build together. I'm telling you to work. I'm telling you God is with you. I'm telling you when you walk out of this place, the first place to start is with me. For some of you, listen, I know maybe you didn't come back here, but I know this with all my heart. Coming back resonated with you. For some of you, the first thing that in building the temple is coming back. I'm coming back. For some of you, it might be I'm saying yes to Jesus for the first time. But I'm telling you, it starts right here. A buddy of mine that's a football coach, my son played for him. Pre-game speech one time. He said, you prepared. They were playing a team they should have got destroyed by. He said, you prepared. We've done everything we can do. He told a story about when he was in the hospital, a pastor came and visited him, and he said, you know, the most important part of your life is between your sternum and your backbone, and that's your heart. And he told him that story, and my son was telling me this story, and he said that before the game, he said, now it comes down to this, the most important thing in your life, what's between your sternum and your backbone, and that's heart. And when he told me that, I wanted to go play a football game. And I'm telling you right now, where all of this starts is between your sternum and your backbone. It starts in your heart. And the first place that God's going to work is in your heart. And for some, it's coming back. For some, it's probably coming too. The second place, I would encourage you, because you've got circles of influence around you. Let God work in those circles, in your family. As he works in your heart, let work in your family. Put your hand to the plow. For so many of us, there are areas of our families that have become hard ground that need to be tilled up. Put your hand to the plow, for God is with you. For some, it's going to be awkward as all get out. But listen, awkwardness never killed you, and it won't. Awkwardness and avoiding it can destroy you. And you embrace the uncomfortable nature knowing that God is with you. And you need to have the conversations, and you need to not deny the reality, and you need to ask God to give you a different perspective. And the circumstance around you may not change, but God will change you in the circumstance. And he's given you these circles of influence that as he builds you, you're going to begin to Become a builder of other people. And God's Spirit will do more in and through you than you could ever possibly imagine. What's interesting about this passage is it's during the Feast of Tabernacles, as I said. It celebrated them living in these makeshift homes in the wilderness and God caring for them after he brought them out of Egypt. If you fast forward about 500 plus years, Jesus is at the same festival. He's at the Festival of Tabernacles. It was one of the most joyful celebrations the Jewish people would have. It celebrated the harvest. And on the last day, it was somewhat of a Sabbath day. It was a more somber day. It was a day of really reflection and remembrance. They've been having this celebration, and on this last day, it's sort of a Sabbath day. What's crazy is that if you look at the dates, best I can calculate them, the day that Haggai gave this message and what happens in John 7, 37 through 39 with Jesus was either on the same day of the month or within a day. And I want us to look at John 7, 37 through 39 real quick because I think it has huge implications for us today and what God wants to do in our lives. John 7, 37, it says this, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But he had promised them, when I ascend to heaven, I will ask the Father will send the Spirit. Here's what's incredible. Haggai is telling these people at the Feast of Tabernacles, continue to build, continue to work, lift up your eyes, have hope, have a different perspective. The latter glory is going to be greater than the former. God's got something better planned. Don't look around at what you see and get discouraged. And he's saying, because the Spirit of God is with you. And Jesus stands up, who he himself is about to destroy the temple that seemed so glorious in that day and build a new temple with his people. And he stands up and he says, all who are thirsty, come to me. All who are thirsty, come to me. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And I look at this, and throughout the ages, temple after temple after temple was built. There was a Solomon's temple, the temple built in the day of Haggai. Then Jesus comes, and he enters into that temple, and then now he's building his temple. The reality of it is all of that happens because the Spirit of God is working amongst his people. I want you to understand this, and we've got to become more familiar with Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the one who works through his people. He is the one who changes perspective. He is the one who does what we cannot do. He is the one that we don't just say, you're welcome here. We want you here. We need you here. We have to have you here. We are incomplete without you. See, so many of us are unsatisfied. We're dissatisfied in the circumstances we're in because we keep trying to satisfy ourselves. And Jesus says, if you come to me, and when he says, if you come to me, what he's saying is, if you come in thirst, if you come to me, it's the same as belief. If you believe in me, then you'll receive my Spirit, and my Spirit will change everything about you. You'll see differently. You'll believe differently. See, I don't want us to look around at what is. I want us to see through the lens of the Spirit of God and what God is capable of and see what might be. I don't want you to look around and look at your circumstance, at your job, and you see it, and it's a horrible place, just a filthy place to work, and you look at it and you go, this is just terrible, I hate this place. No, what could it be if the Holy Spirit moves through it? You look at your family, you look at your marriage, you look at everything around you, and it just seems like nothing's going right. Look, we look at that, and that's reality. I'm not denying reality, but I'm also telling you that if you're a believer, God is with you. What can He do? Well, I can never forgive that person. You can't, but guess who can? Grace working through you. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. Continue to build. Continue to work. It starts between your sternum and your backbone. It starts with your heart. Let God work in your heart. Come to Jesus. Drink. Quit looking to other things. Quit looking to the church to fulfill you. Look, look, look. If you can't fulfill yourself and satisfy yourself, how could a few staff people ever satisfy your needs? How could anybody in the world ever satisfy? You can't do it yourself. But when you come to the Lord, and you taste of His goodness, and you experience His presence, you encounter the Spirit. You realize that He is the one who satisfies. And for some of you, it's been a long time since you drank deeply of the presence of God. For some of you, you've never drank deeply from the presence of God. And yet today, Jesus gives us the same invitation. Come to me, all of you who are thirsty, and I'll give you drink. He told the woman at the well, if you drink this, you'll never thirst again. In other words, He will satisfy. For some I know, and this is just where my heart is really at today. For some, we just need a deeper relationship and experience of Holy Spirit. And we can understand the Father a little bit. We kind of see that. We get that. We understand the Son. He came in flesh. We kind of get that. We come to the Holy Spirit. And we're kind of like, I don't know about Him. So we call Him it. We call Him the. He is God with us. God's presence with us. And today, this is all I'm going to offer. I just want to throw out the same invitation as Jesus. If you're thirsty, come to Him. If you're thirsty, He promises us that He will give us drink. Today, if you're thirsty, if you say, Lord, I need Your Spirit. I need Your Spirit to work in me. I need Your Spirit, God. And I want you to stand to your feet, Lord. Lord, would You fill us again? Just stand to your feet and say, Lord, I need Your Spirit today. I need You, Lord. I'm thirsty. Would You pour Your Spirit out in my life? Would You pour Your Spirit out in me, Lord, today? Just a crying out to the Lord. Lord, we need You. We need You. We need You. We need You to move in our hearts. We need You to move in our families. We need You, God, to move in this church. We need You to move in this city. We need You to move in this nation. Come on, we want You, Holy Spirit, today. We want You, Lord. We need You, Spirit. Move in us today. Move in us today. Move in us today. We worship you, God, and we thank you. Can you just praise him this morning? Can you thank him this morning for the presence of God? Lord, we realize we cannot do a thing without you. We realize, Lord, we cannot do a thing without you. Holy Spirit, fill us. As we thirst, as we long, as we hunger, we thank you, Father, that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they are filled. We thank you that when we seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, that everything's added to us. We thank you that we don't have to fear tomorrow because, God, you are with us. We thank you, God, that we have the privilege of being in community with one another, Lord, bound together by the gospel and by the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, would you move, 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 long after we've gone. Lord, I pray that even tonight, as people lay their heads on a pillow, you would speak to their hearts. I pray that as they drive down the road, Lord, you would speak to their hearts. I pray that as they open their Bibles to have a devotion, you speak to their hearts. I pray, God, that as they are at work, Lord, you would speak to their hearts. I pray, God, that more and more would be surrendered to you. I pray that we would be a people who share your message, because how can people believe in a message they haven't heard? I pray that we would be a people who share our God with other people, Lord, because how can they know a God that they have not met? Lord, I thank you for that, that we will be a church that goes out and continues to take ground for your kingdom, that we will be a church that continues to build your temple, that we will be a presence-based dwelling, a dwelling for the living God, that hearts, lives, communities, and the world will be changed because of the work you do through your people. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.